Good morning. The reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 12, reading from the Jerusalem Bible. So it won't be what's up there. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us a new birth as his sons by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, so that we have a sure hope and the promise of an inheritance that can never be spoilt or soiled and never fade away, because it's being kept for you in the heavens. Through your faith, God's power will guard you until the salvation which has been prepared is revealed at the end of time. This is a cause of great joy for you, even though you may for a short time have to bear being plagued by all sorts of trials, so that when Jesus Christ is revealed, your faith will have been tested and proved like gold. Only it's more precious than gold, which is corruptible, even though it bears testing by fire. And then you will have praise and glory and honor. You did not see him, yet you love him. And still, without seeing him, you are already filled with a joy so glorious that it can't be described, because you believe. And you are sure of the end to which your faith looks forward. That is the salvation of your souls. It was this salvation that the prophets were looking and searching so hard for. Their prophecies were about the grace which was to come to you. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glories which would come after them. And they tried to find out at what time and in what circumstances all this was to be expected. It was revealed to them that the news they brought of all the things which have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven was for you and not for themselves. Even the angels long to catch a glimpse of these things.
Lorraine said to me before the service, this is a nightmare to read because it's got such long sentences. And actually, in the Greek, it's even worse because there's no spaces between the words. So it's one long, looks like one long sentence. Now, have I got this? There you go. Okay. I don't know about you, but I tend to only watch the news once a day now, because it's just so depressing. We live in a world with little hope. Wars, Ukraine, Gaza, Myanmar, Sudan, Eritrea. Political division, whether that be in the United States with Republicans and Democrats, or Labour and Conservatives and Reform and Lib Dems and everybody. We live in a divided world. Right-wing groups being divisive, trying to turn people against those who are seeking safety in our country. We also may feel personal illness, circumstances in our families. It's really quite hard. I remember when I was in the United States, it was just about 1990, and MTV, did you know MTV, music television, did a survey. What's going to be the slogan of the 1990s? Second came, "Don't worry, be happy." Which, in other words, is just dream yourself away from it. But the one that came first was very, very interesting, especially for me working with youth. "Life sucks, then you die." So we live in a world which experiences little hope. And people seem to be losing faith in every institution, whether it be the church, whether it be politics, whether it be business. There have been charities that have been robbed from by their chief executives. Even those who are supposed to be charitable seem to be dishonest. So where's the hope? Where's it gone? Now, 1 Peter was written to Christians who were facing persecution. You get it in the first two verses. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Asia, by the way, was a Roman province, not the whole of that huge continent we have today. But they were suffering terrible persecution, both from the Jewish leaders, but also from the Romans, under Nero especially. Peter actually was crucified upside down. I don't know if you know that, but Caravaggio has this wonderful painting where Peter says that, "No, I do not, I am not worthy of dying like my Saviour." So they crucified him upside down. Not a nice way to go. But they were trying to, this small minority within the Roman Empire, were trying to do what Jesus told them to do. And in Matthew 28, we have, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." Peter would have been there. So where do they find hope? What is the hope they have? And what does Peter in 1 Peter 1 say about this hope? Well, I've got a few points here, unfortunately. I analysed this. Went through and analysed the whole passage. It's a nightmare to analyse, Lorraine, not only to read. It took me hours to do this. So what is the root of our hope? Where can we find it? Well, in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." So our hope is based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, go back and read it when you get home. It's a fantastic passage. He links the resurrection of Jesus with our resurrection. It's not the end. "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" So nothing should move us, because the root of our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if Jesus wasn't raised, well, we're not going to be raised. But he was. and we will be. I remember talking, I did a doctorate in Latin America, and I studied the theology of a man called José Míguez Bonino. And I asked him about his influences. And I asked him whether he was influenced by a guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, you might not have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but he was arrested and he was murdered by the Nazis. And I said, you know, was his theology an inspiration? And he said, not so much his theology, his example. And I could, even as a theologian, I go, hallelujah. And I asked him, what do you mean? And he just said, I knew that I could give my life. Okay, sorry, I forgot to say something. Between 1976 and 1983, 30,000 people were disappeared and murdered by the Argentine government, the military junta. So it was dangerous to oppose the government. And Míguez was opposing the government. And I said, weren't you scared? And he said, well, yes, but no. Because I knew I didn't need to justify myself. Because I've been justified by Jesus Christ. And this is not the end. There is hope. So the root of our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I am well known in this church for not liking Christmas, but I love Easter. Easter is fantastic. The sadness, I go through almost a tradition every year. The week before Holy Week, as we call it, from Palm Sunday, we get to the Good Friday, and emotionally, I do want to go down. I do want to feel it, and what the disciples were feeling. But on Easter Sunday, that famous line that Tony Campolo used to quote, today's Friday, but Sundays are coming. The root of our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to believe this. But is there a danger in this hope? Verse 4 says, into an inheritance, this is the resurrection of the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Because your inheritance is in heaven. Kept by God. Now, you've got to understand that the word heaven is in Greek and in many languages the word for sky. So it's not sort of like floating on a cloud with a harp. Basically, it's shorthand for where God is. It's where God is. So it's guaranteed, this hope. Guaranteed by God. Guaranteed by him. And we've heard in the songs, in several things that have been said, that God is faithful. God does not fear. And David read, I didn't know David was going to read Psalm 42, but, you know, why am I downcast? Have hope in the Lord. And this links two important concepts, which is hope and faith. We must trust in him. And trust is a daily exercise that we Christians have got to do. You don't just trust one time and that's it. Because we start to doubt. And we start to disbelieve. But God is the guarantor of our hope, the salvation of our souls. And soul means everything, whole being, not just some little golf ball that looks like a snitch from Harry Potter. We are guaranteed life of the age to come. And this transfers not only a hope in the future, which Nick was talking about, and we're anticipating that time, but we can have hope now, because God is in charge. God's the boss. Who's the daddy? God's the daddy. Nobody else. And so the location of our hope is in heaven, where God is, kept in heaven with the guarantor of our loving, gentle, precious Father. So why do we need hope? Present sufferings, I've already mentioned that. In a sense, the sufferings of ourselves, the sufferings of others. Do you remember, you got to be old to remember this, there was a, what was the name of that Irish comedian? Butthesmore. What was his name? Don't remember. I tried to... I don't remember, but he used to say, there's more. Yeah, it was a Jimmy, though. Jimmy Cricket, Paul Sexton, you're a genius. There's more. And our present sufferings are by no means anything like the glory that is to come. This is not pie in the sky when you die. This is hope here and now. We can experience it. John, the Apostle John, talks about eternal life. And sometimes people think about it, super extended life. You know, that we'll live forever. Bit of Greek lesson here. The word that is used is not super extension of life, but it is a life of the age to come. So we can experience now the hope we will have in the future. This is the great thing about the gospel. Hope is not just to kind of, I hope that tomorrow I will whatever, or I hope I will get, what was it called? What did you call it, Nick? The roller thingies? Hot Wheels. I hope I get Hot Wheels for Christmas. That's not the hope that we're talking about. Our hope is now, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and we will rise again, even though we die. And many of the martyrs, now I'm not talking about the historical martyrs, I'm talking about the Egyptian people who were beheaded by ISIS, had hope because they knew that wasn't the end. It's not the end. There's something better coming, something much better coming. And we have no right to get depressed because Jesus Christ has guaranteed this. And how do we receive this hope? Through faith. And faith is not, go and read Hebrews 11 again. Faith is not just a kind of, again, a sort of vague thing. Faith is in the person who we know. I have faith in our elders. I think Nick's an elder as well, by the way. We didn't pray for him. But we have faith in our elders, our leadership, because we know who they are. And once you know who Jesus Christ is, then you don't doubt. You don't not believe. Doubt is not a sin, because there was a theologian called Os Guinness, who was a friend of a guy called Francis Schaeffer, and he wrote a book called Doubt, Faith in Two Minds. I'll come back to that in a moment. And the result of hope, praise, glory, honour and joy to God. Our faith in that hope brings glory, honour and joy to God and salvation to us. And like I said, our souls are not just our little bit that survives after we die. It's our whole being. It's the only place in the Bible where it talks about salvation of souls, by the way. Just a quick note. So, we love God. Who loves God? I do. Good. Do we want to bring praise, glory and honour and joy to him?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. So, have hope, faith and hope in our God. That pleases him. There's a prayer by Thomas Merton who says, I'm trying to do God's will, but I'm not sure whether I am. But the fact I want to do God's will pleases him. It's a wonderful, wonderful prayer. So, in conclusion, so what? I should have put a question mark on that. Despair, I'm going to say it quite bluntly, despair is a sin. Because it demonstrates a lack of hope and faith in God. God rules. He's in charge. He's the guarantor of our hope. So have faith. You can doubt. I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't doubt. But don't despair and don't have unbelief. Those are important points, very important points, because God is in charge. Whatever we feel is going on in the world, or in our own lives, or in our family's lives, he's still there. He's still in charge. And he's good. Now, philosophically, we have a problem sometimes with that. But when you look at the survey of the world, but by faith, we say God, through the Lord Jesus, is in charge. And we can know him through the preaching of the gospel, through the Holy Spirit. And this is why we emphasize a lot. And we will be going on to talk about the Holy Spirit soon. Hoping God doesn't fail because it's guaranteed by God. So don't doubt. There's no reason to actually think, oh, well, God's not really in charge. It's, you know, look at the circumstances. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water. When he saw the wind and the waves, he started to sink because he didn't look at Jesus, who was also walking. Don't take your eyes off him. I know it's difficult. We all do it at times. I certainly do. But yeah, it's for our good that we do this. And also hope that brings glory to God and gives us our salvation is worth more than gold. Much more worth than gold. So let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you'll forgive us when we don't have hope in you, when we forget who you are, and that you guarantee our salvation. Lord, help us have faith in you. Help us with our unbelief. And give us faith, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.